You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
Good morning. Yeah. Probably should have cleared my throat before I got on the air, huh? Normally a good idea. The world's slowly disintegrating, isn't it? And just being hastened by social media. Think about this. Long after we're dead, the Chinese will be attempting to spread their form of whatever they do around the world. That's not a good thing. Yeah. Slowly but surely going to shit. Anyway, on that note, good morning to you. Mike McMarin for a Hump Day Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wherever you are, thanks for making this part of your morning. Don't be afraid to tell a friend. Yeah. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We are going to talk to John Ubaldi. We'll do that in about 28 minutes. And then after that, yesterday, pretty important subject that the Secretary of Defense testified about that we don't know enough about. I will tell you this because I was reading an article a little bit in the Washington Post about the evolution of Secretary Mattis's thoughts on nuclear. Our nuclear triad and the way the United States protects itself with nuclear weapons. I've always thought, I think like a lot of people do, like, you know, look, as long as we are, you know, we don't need to have a gazillion of those things, do we? You know, it's never going to be used. Has the person that will use that, are they walking the planet today? Because if they do, All they do is they assure their own destruction. So that was my, I've always thought, whatever, wah, wah, wah. that's me and my thoughts about the nuclear thing. Wah, whatever. We're down in the silo, ready to launch. Okay, good for you. That ain't happening. Why don't you deploy with us? Yeah, instead of watching TV all day with your key in the silo, why don't you deploy with us? Yeah. So, anywho, he testified yesterday in front of the House Armed Senate Committee, and so you'll hear that testimony. It's about an hour. But, you know, as always, he's a smart dude, man. and I'm sure other secretaries of defense may have been qualified. But you know what? He's pretty much, I will tell you, if you watch the way he conducts himself, you watch the intellectual rigor, you know, all the whole Mad Dog thing, that's completely not what he is. Like, he can do Mad Dog, yeah. And he does it as a function of his job. But he's an intellectual. Yeah, he doesn't like to let that out. Yeah, but so he retired from the Marine Corps, what, 4 years ago, something like that? I can't remember. Right? After he butted heads with the Obama administration, they showed him the door. So anyway, where did he go? He went to Stanford. Yeah. Now, let me just tell you about Stanford. Home of the eggheads, okay? Yeah, so here you have this guy. And he loves to be in the company of intellectuals that haven't done anything close to what he's done. He loves the intellectual discourse of it. Yeah. Loves the intellectual discourse piece of it. And so, and loves to hear very, and not the bloviated nonsense that you see on TV these days, but sitting around with no cameras, talking about, you know, what is the most sensitive pressure point in the region? How do we put our finger on that? What are the second and third order effects of that? Is there something that we can do that's transformational in the region with the issue? And so he, yeah, that's him. Geek. But necessary, right? Dunford's the same way. Dunford, very smooth. Kind of like, Dunford's kind of like James Bond. Yeah, he's as smooth as a baby's ass. But he's an intellectual among intellectual. Kelly is the same way at the White House. Big time intellectual. Loves discourse, loves to entertain opposing views, loves to hear the rational basis for it, loves to talk to them. And so, but Kelly more of a brawler than the other two. Kelly more of a street fighter than the other two. Mattis, slow to anger, will give you a chance, and then he judges you. And then he judges your ass. And once you're judged, you don't come back. Right? When he sends you to the land of misfit toys, that is a one-way ticket, baby. You do not come back. So anyway, he obviously went through this, but now as the Secretary of Defense, guess what he has access to? All the latest intel. Not that he didn't know much of that, as given his position, and not that it changes that much, but he had all the latest information. He had access to all of our facilities, and most importantly, the experts who put those programs together. So we're going to talk about that with John Ubaldi. So we'll do that this morning. And so we'll make you smart about nuclear stuff. Yeah, and you know what? I'm not a nuclear guy. I'm a conventional guy. Nukes, blah, blah, blah. But we're about to modernize our nuclear arsenal to the tune of about $1 point something trillion. Yeah. And I will tell you this. I mean, just like if you recall, and I've heard this from a number of people that listen to the program, specifically about the transgender issue. You know, I learned a ton about that issue that I didn't even know. And it's about the intellectual rigor, and it's about your oath to the nation. To put your own upbringing aside and the way and your own bias by virtue of your experience or whatnot, right? Recall your oath that your job is to do what's best for the nation and then give it the intellectual rigor it deserves, and then it goes where it goes. And unlike what we see in politics where people put their hand on the scale of justice, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to offer up your unvarnished assessment of how this makes the defense of the nation better. And in a nation that lives under the credo of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, how does being a transsexual make you incompatible with military service? And the answer is, it would make you incompatible to the same extent that it makes anybody else incompatible, and that is if you're non-deployable, coincidentally, in the news yesterday, right? If your medical issues take you beyond what we can support with military medicine, then clearly you're incompatible. What your life goals are is incompatible with military service. And so people commented to me about those shows saying, you know, that completely changed my idea. First of all, I didn't know that the label transgender applied to so many people. I said, yeah, that was interesting. Once you understand that label, then I think you're forced to modify your position immediately. Oh, I thought transgenders were only people that wanted surgery. Oh, no. There's a whole series of people that have, what do they call it, gender dysphoria, who don't identify with their own gender, but don't want to be surgically modified. And so they live various lives as transvestites and other things. Does that make them, does that in and of itself, I can hear my friends screaming at me, does that make them incompatible with military service? Well, the answer is, if you're a guy and you want to wear a dress, but otherwise you're a stable human being, then we have to look at that. We owe that the intellectual rigor, you know, to come to grips with that and say, is this a bad thing? Is this a personal preference? Yada, yada, yada. So anyway, so Mattis does that kind of intellectual rigor, and it's taken him to this position, which is opposed to what he kind of intimated during his confirmation hearings and in previous hearings. So, and then certainly to the disappointment of people that would love to see the United States, dare I say, unilaterally disarm, or people that are fans of arms control and whatnot. And just know this. The Russians begin violating an agreement the second they sign it. They're a lying nation, okay, as are the Chinese. So, anyway, on that cheery note, we're going to check news headlines. We're going to get going here. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. This dedicated to the Secretary of Defense, who on a daily basis sets an example for all of us. And I'm not afraid to be critical of him now that I don't work for him. And let me tell you, and if you get on his bad side, it is not a pleasant experience. And he can be rough on people and a bit of a bully at times. I don't know that that's, you know, and honestly, I don't know that that's inappropriate in the military. I think there needs to be more belligerent commanding officers. And I don't mean belligerent personally. What I mean is belligerent in terms of their standards and their enforcement standards and not accepting subpar performances. And he certainly was that. Particularly in combat. And so, but, you know, just with this issue here, he shows us, you know, an initial position, and then through the intellectual rigor, right? It was interesting reading the Washington Post story. And one of his advisory committees that he set up when he was at CENTCOM, he had Newt Gingrich and Hillary Clinton on it. Now, that's somebody after the truth. Okay? So, for a nation that has guys like Trey Gowdy, who seems like a very, very decent an honorable representative leaving because American politics suck. Secretary Mattis, although not a politician, sets an example of the way it should be done. And Mike and I were talking about this yesterday. It was really interesting listening to Trey Gowdy's discussion of why he didn't want to serve anymore after talking to Mike. And Mike and I saying that, you know, you do have to go through a change if you want to be involved in that world. So, just dedicated to the Secretary of Defense.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Check all marine weather. Currently 34 and cloudy in Quantico. 67 and partly cloudy at Camp Lejeune. Warming up there. Granbury, Texas. Sun and 33. Still cold in the Midwest. Montana's warmed up about 20 degrees. Cloudy and 41. 29 Palms. Sun and 50. It's going to be in the 80s out here today. Camp Pendleton. Sun and 41. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 55. Marja, warming up. Clear, dark, and 56 at the home of All Marine Radio. Overcast, 53 degrees. Looking for a high today of 79 degrees, 81 tomorrow, and 74 on Friday. So beautiful day today here on the coast of Southern California. Check a few weather headlines. Check a few Marine Corps headlines. I need to read a letter that the Commandant wrote here. Maybe I'll do. I got to carve some time out. Tomorrow's program is going to be very cool. Ben Kaler is going to join us. Ben was wounded as a lieutenant in. He was a lieutenant in. in Ramadi in 2004 with 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. That's where we crossed paths. They were across the river across the irrigation. Well, it's not a canal. There was a name for it. It'll come to me. Anyway, but he's working for the VA now, and he's done some interesting stuff. Yeah, Kaler. Kaler, so we'll go ahead and he's done some original work too. He's done some work with the clergy, relative to identifying post-traumatic stress, making sure people get the care they need. Yeah. So Kaler, baller, yeah, and he's a magnificent bastard, so to speak. So they love that nickname, by the way. So he'll join us tomorrow, and another compatriot of his. So we'll talk VA stuff tomorrow. And excited about that. Ben's a good dude, and again, a lot of guys go to work for the VA, and they start kicking in doors. A lot of veterans do, and really do try to make a difference. So VA seems to be always in the news, whether it's their programs or finding stuff that isn't going very well. The bottom line at the VA is you got to get better people in there. I will tell you just my own personal experience. It is, it's you walk in there, people don't greet you. You know, you'll sit there, it seems like forever, without anybody even saying anything to you. Just bad service, you know, and that is the first thing that needs to change, and the way you change that is leadership and then personnel. So, anyway, we'll talk to Big Benny Kaler tomorrow. The president wants to have a military parade in Washington, D.C., Marine Corps Times running a poll. Percent say it's a waste of time and money. Another poll. If you've seen the Army's throwback uniforms, they're called pink and greens. It's when the Army used to have good uniforms. They are supported by 82% of the people in this poll. Yeah, the president wants to have a day with the centerpiece being a military parade to honor our military. So a lot of people don't like the idea. You know what? I like it. I went to, there's only been four of them in the nation's history, the Victory Parade. One after the Civil War, one after World War I, one after World War II, and then one after the Gulf War. So I happened to be stationed in D.C. and went to that. And there's a certain, you know, protocol for that parade. And so Susan and I took, Patrick was just a baby, he had just been born, and John, I don't know, probably was about 3 years old. And so we went up to the National Mall, and we got a spot. And I'll tell you what, it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. So, and I like parades. And I know military people are like, oh, who wants to do that? I don't, you know... I think the nation needs to be aware. The nation needs to be aware. And they can say they are, but, and then the theme would be to Congress. You got to support our military so we can do the work we do. Because otherwise we cede all of this to China and Russia. Come on, that can't ever happen. Anyway, there are no new stories about the other than Secretary Mattis in Marine Corps Times. So we'll do the top five of early bird before John Ubaldi joins us here. Number one story. So this is a slow news day. All right, and to be honest with you, I'm a little bit vexed why the Secretary of Defense's testimony is not the number one story here. Watch the V-20 Valor reach 80 knots in flight test. Bell Helicopters V-280 Valor, a tilt-rotor aircraft built for a U.S. Army-led demonstration, has reached a flight speed of 80 knots and is flying at an altitude of 1,000 feet above ground level, AGL, said Keith Blale, the company's vice president for advanced tilt-rotor systems. Army getting into the tilt-rotor business. Marines don't like that stuff. Now, I'm not sure if the Valor is manned or unmanned. It is manned. Looks like the Osprey. Engines look a little bit bigger though. So far, the aircraft is behaving incredibly well. The question is, at what price? The Army's planning to buy two different types, prototypes. The other prototype has fallen behind the original timeline intended for September, and that is a Sikorsky Boeing SB-1 Defiant coaxial helicopter is now expected to start flying sometime in the first half of 2018. As Valor progresses through flight testing, Bell and the Army will continue to push the envelope. So, yeah, tilt-rotor technology, man. Pioneered by your favorite branch of the service, the United States Marine Corps. The second story, more than 110 people killed in Syria's eastern Ghouta province. Russian and Syrian government forces have killed at least 110 civilians over the past 48 hours in eastern Ghouta, a suburb of the capital of Damascus, according to residents and monitoring groups. And that's in the news. Number three. Like I said, like the Russians give a shit. Civilian casualty? What is that? What is that? Number three, U.S. bombing expands to Afghan province near the Chinese border. Yeah, that's a little calling card for you, bro. U.S. forces in Afghanistan have become launching precision airstrikes in northern Afghanistan in an effort to degrade the Taliban's revenue stream, training facilities, and support network. This is pretty interesting because we have not gone here. Over the past, these are B-52 strikes. Over the past, Oh, man. Now, just, I digress here. But I started reading a book that came over the weekend. It's called The Sorrow of War. It's written by that guy that was in the PBS series, the blonde-haired, actually, it's dyed, not natural, NVA soldier. His name's Bao Nin. And let me tell you, if you were an NVA soldier, what he describes, yeah, holy shit, man. It was simply a question of when you were going to die. There was no rotation. You're only here for 90 days or 6 months, and then you're going home for a year. There was none of that bullshit. You might get, your regiment might get, or brigade might get pulled out to go to a, you know, R&R facility. But that would be it. Then you were going back until the war ended or you died. And so when you read it, it's at first it's kind of different to understand, because he writes it as a novel, and the character is obviously based on his experience, and the things that he writes about, essentially the elimination of NVA units by the firepower of the United States. When he writes about it, It's pretty amazing. I don't know that I've ever read, you know, what we unleashed in Korea. They wouldn't write about it. We would never get anything out of there. In Vietnam, I've never read anything written by an NVA soldier that talks about what that was like. And And I've never read anything about from Afghanistan. But, I mean, it's not, you know, we don't get that many cracks at those guys, so it tends to be precision-guided munitions out of nowhere. But this is napalm, artillery, small arms. He describes some of these engagements in which people are just, you know, just annihilated. Regiments are annihilated by American firepower. Yeah. Anyway, that made me think of this. This made me think of that, I should have said. So anyway, training facilities nested up in the northern, in the mountains in northern Afghanistan, right? Heroin and opium conversions labs nestled up there that we have not got after. Well, guess what, sports fans? And again, with no fanfare, this is all Mattis. All right? I want them annihilated. We're going to wage war on every aspect of that Taliban operation, not just parts of it, all of it. Yeah. During these airstrikes, U.S. B-52 Stratofortresses dropped 24 precision-guided munitions on Taliban fighting positions, setting a record for the most guided munitions ever dropped from the B-52. I think it dropped 25 of those. Like, come on. It can be, you know, the only question is how much gas does it have and how many times we have to tank it, refuel it. So anyway, it's up by the Chinese border, which is the route for opium, black tar opium, to Europe. Tends to be that way. So, yeah, got that going for them in that region. Elsewhere, real quick, SpaceX's new rocket blasted off. That was pretty big news yesterday because, you know, again, half the people watching the launch, half the people, you know, waiting to see what happens. So congratulations to them. Commercial space flight. How about that? A little bit scary. Not sure I'd buy that ticket. Let's see. And then are there any other Marine Corps headlines? There's a story. Two women say Marines did nothing after they complained of sexually explicit overtures by an officer. If you read the story that's in USA Today, what Marines say ultimately that they had no way of corroborating the evidence. Now, so what do you do in that instance? Do you fire him? Do you end his career? So anyway, Bill Med 11, story that merits watching because there's multiple accusations against the same guy. All right. That's the news this morning. Ubaldi. We're going to talk Mattis. We're going to talk nukes and then what John has written. So John Ubaldi of the Ubaldi Reports, Master Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, retired. He joins us next. Don't touch your dial. Bob Nilsen, right after this explosion.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen.
Hey, and tell your friends, if they're looking for a career, for the love of God, contact Turner. Send us a resume. If you know somebody, I mean, Turner's an international company. If you know somebody, then by all means, get them to Turner. Tell them to send me their email, their resume, or just an email. I'll put them in touch with Nielsen. And we've had a whole series of guys that have gotten hired, listening to all Marine Radio. So we're fired up about that. But if you know somebody that's transitioning, and, you know, it doesn't matter what your MOS, as Bob says, and I'll start this thing, as Bob said, if you're looking for a profession, right, Turner is a worldwide construction business. But what do? They do operations, they do logistics, they do administration. What does that sound like? Oh, that sounds like the Marine Corps. Yeah, no shit. So if you know somebody that's transitioning, tell them, hey, take a look at Turner, okay? Take a look at Turner. It might not be what you want to do for the rest of your life, but it's certainly they're looking to hire veterans. And the construction business, Nielsen loved it. Get to travel a little bit, get to build stuff, get to do good things, get to be a leader. What does that sound like, boys and girls? That's right. Okay, back to Nielsen.
Former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.